right, everyone, buckle up, because today's deep dive is a juicy one. We're talking citizenship, but hold on to your hats, folks, because we're going way beyond that little passport book.
That's right. We're going straight to the source, the Bible.
You know, we often treat faith and being a citizen like two separate things.
Totally. But these passages we're going to dig into, they kind of turn that idea on its head.
Right. It's like, are we really living out our faith? It doesn't impact how we engage with the world around us.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are surprised by what the Bible actually says about this stuff.
Okay, so let's dive into it, shall we? We're kicking things off with Philippians 3.20, which talks about our citizenship being in heaven. I got to be honest, that sounds kind of, well, out there.
Right. It's like, wait, I live here on earth, don't I?
Exactly. So what's the deal with this whole heavenly citizenship thing?
Well, it's this idea of dual citizenship, right? Like we can be citizens of two places at once.
Okay. I'm listening.
It's acknowledging that, yeah, we have responsibilities here and now, but ultimately our allegiance is to something bigger.
So like, it's not that our earthly lives don't matter.
Not at all. It's more like viewing everything through this lens of, okay, but what does it mean to represent my home country, so to speak, while I'm here?
That's pretty profound when you put it that way. It's like, how do my beliefs, my values actually play out in my everyday life as a citizen? Like, how does that change how I vote or treat my neighbor or even disagree with someone?
You got it. And speaking of how we engage with the world, let's flip over to Romans 13:1-7. This one talks about our responsibility towards governing authorities, you know, the whole render unto Caesar bit.
Right, right. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Sounds pretty straightforward. Obey the rules, pay your taxes, don't make a fuss.
Yeah, on the surface. But there's always more to it, isn't there?
Oh, I'm sure you're going to tell me there is. What's the catch?
Well, this passage emphasizes respecting authority that's in line with God's law.
Ugh, there it is. The million-dollar question. What happens when those two things collide? Like when your government asks something of you that just flat out goes against your faith.
It's a tricky one, right? The tension that people of faith have wrestled with for centuries. That's where that whole discernment thing comes in.
Oh, easier said than done, let me tell you.
Tell me about it. But you know, it's interesting. Jesus actually addresses this very issue in Matthew 22. He's asked about paying taxes, right?
Yeah.
And he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's.
So like figuring out where our loyalties ultimately lie. Right.
Yeah. And sometimes that means taking a stand. And, you know, we're not off the hook in terms of how we live our lives either.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
1 Peter 2:13-17 talks about this. It says, and I'm paraphrasing here, that even when people accuse us of doing wrong, they should be able to look at our lives and see something different, something good and true.
So it's not just about following the letter of the law, but really living out your faith in a way that impacts the world around you.
100%. And get this, that even extends to our attitudes towards our leaders.
Okay, now this is where I struggle. Praying for those in charge, especially when you completely disagree with them.
I hear you. But 1 Timothy 2.12 encourages us to do just that, to pray for our leaders, to seek peace and good governance.
You know, I never thought about it that way. It's not about condoning their actions, but trying to work towards a better future.
Exactly. And sometimes that's the most powerful thing we can do. And you know what else? History's full of stories where those in power have had a change of heart. Never underestimate the power of prayer.
That's a good reminder. So we've talked about obeying laws, praying for leaders. What about actually getting involved in our communities?
Right. That's where Jeremiah 29.7 comes in. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. It's this beautiful call to be invested in the well-being of our communities, to pray for them, to work towards their flourishing.
It's like we're not just meant to be residents in our towns and cities, but active participants.
Right.
Trying to make things better for everyone.
Exactly. And when we start thinking that way about how we can use our time and talents to be a blessing, well, that's when things get really exciting.
So far, we've got this picture of being engaged, being a positive force. But how do we actually do that? I mean, it's easy to say, be a good citizen. But what does that look like in a practical sense?
Well, Matthew 5:13-16 has a really powerful metaphor for this. It talks about being salt and light.
Salt and light. Okay, now you're speaking my language. I love a good metaphor. But break it down for me. What's the connection to citizenship?
Think about salt for a second. What does it do? It enhances flavor, right?
Yep.
It preserves.
Yeah.
And light. Light chases away darkness. It illuminates.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. So we're supposed to be these agents of positive change, making our communities better, brighter.
Precisely. Letting our values shine through in everything we do. And, you know, sometimes that means speaking up, especially for those who can't speak for themselves.
You're talking about advocating for others, right? Like those who are marginalized or mistreated.
Exactly. Proverbs 31:8-9 reminds us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Our voices matter, and staying silent can sometimes be just as bad as participating in the injustice.
Wow, when you put it that way, it makes you realize that true citizenship requires more than just paying taxes and voting every few years. It's about standing up for what you believe in and fighting for a better world for everyone.
Now you're getting it. And through it all, it's important to remember that we're ultimately accountable to a higher power. Romans 14:1 reminds us, "So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God."
That's a good reality check. No matter how much power or influence someone might have in this life, we're all answerable to something greater than ourselves.
Exactly. Our actions have eternal weight. How's that for a thought to ponder?
That's quite a bit to chew on. So as we wrap up this deep dive into biblical citizenship, I gotta ask, what's one thing we can all do starting today to better live out these principles in our own lives?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is different for everyone. But maybe, just maybe, it starts with asking ourselves, what does it mean for me to be a citizen of both heaven and earth? And then, most importantly, actually trying to live out the answer.
That's a powerful challenge to leave us with. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us, everyone. Until next time.